the impact of myasthenia gravis symptoms can pile up. Plans getting rescheduled, hobbies being left behind, everyday tasks going unfinished. If MG keeps disrupting your life, the burden may be bigger than you realize. Learn how to assess and track the impact of your symptoms so you can talk about it with your healthcare team. Take the next step to better understand how MG symptoms may be impacting your life. Visit mgsymptomimpact.com.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
For as long as anyone in the family could remember, the old building had belonged to them. It stood on the corner of Main Street, its weathered brick walls and tall front windows looking much the same as they had for more than a century. Businesses had come and gone around it, but the building itself never seemed to change. Older residents still pointed toward its upstairs windows when they shared stories about the town's early days, and grandparents often stopped on the sidewalk to tell grandchildren they remembered coming there as children. It had quietly become one of those places everyone recognized without ever giving much thought to how long it had been part of the town. His grandfather bought the building nearly 50 years earlier at a time when most people thought it was beyond saving. The roof leaked, the upstairs needed extensive repairs, and the attic had become little more than a place to store forgotten furniture and broken equipment. While others saw a building nearing the end of its life, his grandfather saw one that simply needed someone willing to care for it. Over the following decades, he repaired almost every part of it himself. He replaced windows, reinforced floors, built shelving, and gradually turned the attic into a workshop where he spent countless evenings repairing whatever happened to come through the door. Broken clocks, old radios, rocking chairs, lamps, cabinets. If someone in town couldn't bear to throw something away, there was a good chance it eventually found its way onto his workbench. His father grew up handing him tools in that attic, and after his grandfather passed away, he became the one responsible for maintaining both the building and the workshop. Very little changed. The workbench remained beneath the dormer window. Coffee cans still held old nails and screws sorted by size, and hand tools continued hanging from the same pegboard where his grandfather had left them years earlier. Even the drawers beneath the bench still carried faded handwritten labels identifying parts that no one else completely understood. There was only one family rule. The attic was never locked. As a child, he never questioned it. Every evening, his father locked the front door, checked the windows, turned off the lights, and walked out of the building, leaving the attic exactly as it had always been. His father simply explained that it had been his grandfather's rule. There was no story behind it and no further explanation offered. And before long, he accepted it the same way children accept countless other family traditions that seem perfectly ordinary until they grow older. After college, he moved away, built a career in another city, and returned home only for holidays. His parents continued running the business, and every visit felt as though the building had remained frozen in time. The staircase still creaked in the same place as the familiar scent of old wood greeted him the moment he stepped inside, and the attic workshop looked as though his grandfather had only stepped away for a few minutes instead of having been gone for years. Everything changed when his father suffered a stroke that forced him into retirement much sooner than anyone expected. Although he recovered well enough to return home, there was no question he could no longer manage the building every day. The responsibility passed to his son almost overnight. The decision to come home wasn't difficult. He had always loved the building and couldn't imagine watching it leave the family after so many years. Within a few weeks, he had resigned from his job, moved back to his hometown, and begun tackling the long list of repairs that had been postponed while his father concentrated on simply keeping the business running. The electrical system needed updating, several doors required new locks, and the alarm system belonged to another era. His father had always believed the building's best security came from living in a small town where everyone knew everyone else. He wasn't convinced that was enough anymore, so he hired contractors to modernize nearly everything. His father approved of the improvements without much comment until the subject of the attic came up. Unlike every other door in the building, the attic still had its original lock, and even that had rarely been used. His father quietly insisted it didn't need to be changed, offering no explanation beyond reminding him that his grandfather had always wanted the attic left alone. The conversation stayed with him for several days, although he couldn't understand why anyone would object to making the building more secure. When the security company arrived to install the final pieces of the new alarm system, one of the technicians asked whether the attic door should receive the same deadbolt as the rest of the building. He hesitated only briefly before agreeing. By the end of the afternoon, the old doorknob had been replaced with a heavy-duty deadbolt that matched every other security lock in the building. The technician handed him two keys, tested the mechanism several times, and assured him the attic was now as secure as any room in the building. That evening, he stopped by his father's house to let him know the work had been completed. His father listened quietly before asking a single question. Was the attic still unlocked? When he admitted it wasn't, his father said very little. He simply told him he should unlock it again and left the subject there. The conversation soon moved on to other things, but his father's expression lingered in his mind long after he had driven back to the building. He couldn't understand why one old family tradition mattered so much. As he locked up for the night, he paused at the foot of the attic stairs and looked up toward the newly installed deadbolt. For the first time in nearly 50 years, the attic was locked, and as far as he was concerned, it was exactly the way it should have been. He had no idea that before another day had passed, he would understand why neither his father nor his grandfather had ever wanted that door secured. The first evening passed without anything unusual. He finished organizing paperwork in the office, walked through the building one last time before setting the alarm, and drove home thinking more about invoices and contractor schedules than his father's strange reaction to the new lock. By the following morning, he had almost forgotten the conversation entirely. The second night was different. He had stayed later than usual to meet with an electrician who was finishing work in one of the upstairs offices. By the time the last truck pulled away, the sun had disappeared and the building had settled into the kind of silence only old buildings seem capable of producing. He was locking a supply cabinet when he heard a faint metallic sound somewhere overhead. It sounded like a drawer being pulled open. He stopped what he was doing and listened. A few seconds later came the unmistakable scrape of something sliding across a wooden surface, followed by two soft taps that sounded remarkably like someone setting down a hammer. The noise came from the attic, and his first thought was that one of the contractors had accidentally been locked upstairs. He grabbed the new key, climbed the narrow staircase, and unlocked the attic door. The workshop sat exactly as he had left it. Moonlight filtered through the small dormer window and stretched across his grandfather's workbench. Every tool remained neatly hung in its place. The old wooden stool still sat tucked beneath the bench, and the drawers were all closed. He searched every corner of the attic before switching off the lights and locking the door again. He never considered that the sounds themselves were unusual. He simply couldn't explain where they had come from. The following evening, it happened again. This time he recognized the sound immediately. Something heavy slid across the workbench, followed by the familiar creak of the old stool moving across the floor. He unlocked the attic as quickly as he could, convinced he would finally catch whoever had been getting inside. Once again, the attic was empty. He searched more carefully than he had the night before. He checked every window, examined the insulation along the walls, and even looked behind stacks of old lumber that hadn't been moved in years. There was nowhere anyone could have hidden, and there was no sign that anyone had entered the attic at all. The noises continued over the next week, and they never lasted long, and they always sounded the same. A drawer opening, tools being moved, the scrape of wood against wood. Occasionally he heard what sounded like someone slowly walking across the attic floor before stopping near the workbench. Every time he unlocked the door, the sounds ended. Every time he reached the top of the stairs, the attic was empty. He began timing his trips upstairs, trying to reach the workshop before whoever was making the noise could leave. He even waited at the bottom of the stairs one evening after hearing the sounds begin, hoping to catch someone coming down. No one ever did. One afternoon, he decided the problem had to be the new alarm system. Perhaps a loose sensor or vibration from the updated electrical work was somehow creating noises that echoed through the old building. The security company inspected every detector in the attic and tested the new lock while he watched. Everything worked perfectly. A contractor suggested squirrels. Another blamed the old roof settling after warm afternoons. Neither explanation accounted for the sounds of drawers opening or tools sliding across the workbench. Even so, he accepted them because they were better than the alternative. As the days passed, he noticed something else. The noises never happened while the attic door was standing open. If he spent the afternoon sorting through old boxes or cleaning the workshop, the attic remained perfectly quiet. It wasn't until he locked the door behind him at the end of the day that the sounds returned. The pattern bothered him enough that he finally mentioned it to his father. His father listened without interrupting, showing almost no reaction at all. When the story was finished, he simply asked whether the noises always stopped after the attic was unlocked. They did. His father nodded, as though that answered a question only he understood. That was the entire conversation. Driving back to the building that evening, he found himself thinking less about the strange noises and more about his father's calm acceptance of them. There had been no surprise, no disbelief, and no attempt to convince him. He was imagining things. It was almost as though his father had been expecting this phone call for years. He unlocked the front door just before sunset and headed upstairs to finish organizing shelves in one of the storage rooms. An hour later, as he was shutting off lights before closing for the night, the familiar sounds began again. A drawer opened. Something metallic slid across the workbench. Then came three slow taps. He stood at the bottom of the attic staircase without moving. The sounds continued for nearly a minute, each one exactly where he expected it to be, as though someone upstairs had settled into another ordinary evening of work. For the first time since taking over the building, he didn't reach for the key. Instead, he stood perfectly still and listened until the sounds finally stopped on their own. The silence that followed somehow felt even stranger. As he locked the front door and walked toward his truck, he glanced back at the upstairs windows. The lights were off. The building looked exactly as it always had. but for the first time in his life, he couldn't shake the feeling that someone was still inside, waiting for the attic door to be unlocked again. For the next several days, he left the attic exactly as it was. The deadbolt remained locked, the new alarm system was armed every night, and he tried convincing himself the strange sounds would eventually stop. Instead, they became part of every evening. They never lasted more than a few minutes, but they always followed the same familiar pattern. A drawer would slide open, something would scrape across the old workbench, and every so often he would hear the soft creak of the wooden stool shifting beneath someone's weight. By then, he had stopped trying to explain what he was hearing. What troubled him was the feeling that whoever or whatever was upstairs wasn't trying to frighten him. The sounds weren't frantic or violent. They sounded ordinary, like someone settling into a workshop after another day's work and continuing a routine that had never really ended. One afternoon, he climbed into the attic while the building was still open and stood quietly in front of the workbench. The surface was worn smooth in places where decades of hands had rested while repairing broken things. Tiny burn marks covered one corner, drawers still held carefully sorted hardware, and the pegboard above the bench remained organized with a precision that only years of habit could have created. Looking around the room, it occurred to him that almost everything else in the building had changed over time. The wiring had been replaced, security cameras had been installed, locks had been upgraded, and offices had been remodeled. The attic, however, had simply been preserved. That evening before leaving for home, he unlocked the attic door and left it standing open. Nothing happened. The following evening, he locked it again. The sounds returned before he had even finished turning off the downstairs lights. He stood at the bottom of the staircase, listening to the now familiar rhythm of drawers opening, tools sliding across wood, and the occasional creak of the old stool. For reasons he couldn't explain, he found himself imagining his grandfather standing at the workbench, searching for the right screwdriver, before returning to whatever project had occupied his evening. It was the first time that thought had entered his mind, and once it did, he couldn't shake it. Not because he suddenly believed his grandfather was haunting the building, but because he realized the sounds fit the workshop perfectly. They didn't sound like someone breaking in or wandering through the attic. They sounded like someone who belonged there. The next morning, he drove to his father's house without calling first. They talked about the building for a while before the conversation eventually turned to the attic. And this time, his father didn't seem surprised that the noises had continued. Instead, he quietly admitted they had been happening for as long as he could remember. His grandfather had heard them. He had heard them. Neither of them had ever spoken much about it because, strangely enough, the sounds had never felt threatening. They always stopped whenever the attic was left unlocked, and after enough years, both men had simply accepted that whatever reason his grandfather had for insisting on that one family rule was probably reason enough. Before he left, his father admitted something that surprised him even more. He had never actually known why his own father insisted the attic remain unlocked. He had simply trusted him. The drive back to town felt longer than usual. For the first time, he realized that three generations of his family had quietly followed the same rule without anyone ever fully understanding it. The only difference was that he had been the first to decide the rule no longer mattered. When he reached the building, he climbed the attic stairs carrying nothing but the key to the new deadbolt. He unlocked the door, removed the lock, and carried it downstairs before digging through a box of discarded hardware until he found the original doorknob. It took him the better part of an hour to reinstall it, but when he finally stepped back, the attic looked exactly as it had for decades. The door still closed securely. It simply no longer locked. The building was completely quiet that night. Then another week passed without hearing so much as a single drawer open or the scrape of a tool across the workbench. Before long, he realized he had stopped pausing at the foot of the attic stairs each evening because there was nothing left to listen for. Whatever had been happening had ended as quietly as it had begun. Years have passed since then, and the building still belongs to the family. The workshop remains almost exactly as his grandfather left it, right down to the faded labels on the drawers and the old wooden stool tucked beneath the workbench. Visitors occasionally ask why such an old building doesn't have a lock on the attic door, especially after noticing the modern security system protecting every other entrance. He always smiles before answering. He simply tells them the attic has never needed one. Most people assume he's joking, and he has never tried to convince them otherwise. Every evening before heading home, he still walks through the building, checking windows, turning off lights, and making sure everything is ready for another day. When he reaches the bottom of the attic stairs, he always glances toward the old workshop before locking the front door behind him. The attic door is closed every night. It has never been locked again. And since the day he removed that deadbolt, he has never once heard someone quietly working at his grandfather's bench after the lights went out.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV Licensing.
Yes, TV Licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack. There's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV Licensing.
Yes, TV Licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I have been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I have been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.